Welcome to the Eddie Hyde Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Hyde, and I'm so excited to be sharing with you the study of the book of Acts. What an important account this is of earliest Christianity by a world-class historian. We'll talk about more in the days ahead. I did allude to it some, I believe, in the very first episode. But it's not a doctrinal book, it's a history, but yet we can have our doctrine affirmed and maybe even derive doctrine from this because we see definite patterns of God working in definite and certain ways that we need to pick up on and understand and follow. And today, I'm going to start reading at verse 6 in chapter 1. And verse 6 begins, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him." Now, this is very interesting. I tend to believe, because of how this is worded, that this is another appearance of Jesus. During the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension, Jesus appeared, made various appearances to different disciples. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to the 11. He appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to Paul sometime after this. But Paul says he appeared to over 500 brothers and sisters at one time. Now, Luke does not record that here for whatever reason, but Paul tells us about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So there were numerous appearances. These were not apparitions or visions. They were real physical appearances of the resurrected Lord to the various disciples. Now, if you notice in verse 4, it says, "And being assembled together with them," this is when we were talking about yesterday, he commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Verse 6 says, "Therefore, when they had come together." So the wording of this seems to indicate that Luke is now talking about another appearance and where he gathered together. We don't know who all was in the group. He doesn't say. For sure, the 11 would have been there, but probably others as well. Now, in this gathering, when they come together, they have a question. They ask him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Now, this is an eschatological question. Now, I know eschatological sounds like a big word. It comes from the Greek word eschaton, which means end. So eschatology is the study of the end times, the end of the age. You know, the Lord's second coming. How is all of this going to pan out? What about the eschaton, the end? So eschatology. So this was an eschatological question. Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Because there are so many promises in the Old Testament about God restoring Israel as a political and cultural force in the earth. Now, at this time, when Luke is writing, and actually when the New Testament was written, they were not a political or cultural force. Now, they were somewhat of a cultural force still because there were synagogues all throughout the Roman Empire, but they were ruled over by the Romans. They were under the thumb of Rome at the time. But yet, the prophet Nathan had said to David, said, "I'm going to raise up one of your descendants to sit on your throne, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Isaiah chapter 9, is it verse 6? Isaiah said, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and of his peace, and of his kingdom, there will be no end." And I'm just quoting a couple off the top of my head, but there are all kinds of Old Testament promises about God restoring the political fortunes of the nation of Israel in the earth. So this is the question that they are asking because they're familiar with these Old Testament prophecies. They are practicing Jews. They go to the synagogue every Sabbath and they hear the reading of the scriptures. So they ask this question, is this the time? Is this the time that you're going to restore the kingdom? Is this the time you're going to drive the Romans out and get rid of them, and set up Israel as a political force in the earth. Is this the time, Lord? Listen to how Jesus responded. It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. It's not for you to know, he said. Or in other words, that's not what's important for you to know. Now he's going to tell them what's important. But you, now he didn't say that there was nothing to their question. He didn't say, oh, that's never going to happen. No, he didn't say that. He just said, hey, guys, that's not for you to know at this time. Here's what's important. Here's what I want you to know. You shall receive power, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I believe that is still true today. Let me just back and say, I know, hey, listen, I have studied the end times. When I first committed my life to Jesus back in the early 1970s, that was one of the things I really got into in reading books. Hal Lindsey and the late great Planet Earth, I'll never forget that, and studying and even preaching and teaching about the end times and about the rapture and about how all the signs, even back in the 1970s, were pointing that it could happen at any time. And hey, listen, I have no problem with that. I'm all for that, except when we become obsessed with that. And we spend all of our time trying to figure out when he's going to come, and we are neglecting the more important things that he has commissioned us to do, such as taking the good news, the gospel of who he is and what he has done to the whole world. So this is what he is saying to them. Hey, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Very powerful. So here's what's important, Jesus said, and this is what's important to us. You shall receive power. That is the Greek word dunamis. The word, we get our English words dynamo and dynamite, dynamic, from that Greek word dunamis. Power is a good translation. And he says, here's what's important. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Some translations say you will be my witnesses. In other words, you see, here's how you can tell if a preacher, a minister, a revival is truly inspired and guided by the Holy Spirit. They will tend towards and have a desire to and will go towards lifting up Jesus, talking about him. Because Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, you shall reap power. And what will you be given? What will be given power to do? To be his witnesses. John 16:13, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit is come, he shall glorify me. When a church or a preacher or a ministry is always talking about itself or himself or herself, they are not inspired and led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And the focus, the goal of the Holy Spirit is going to make you witnesses unto me, to make you my witness. You're going to talk about me everywhere you go. Not about you, not about your great anointing, not about your great ministry. But you're going to be empowered to talk about me. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Now that's where they are now. They're in Jerusalem when he's telling them this. And in all Judea. Now Judea is the surrounding area outside of Jerusalem. And Samaria, now they're getting into some cross-cultural witnessing because the Samaritans and the Jews did not like each other. The Samaritans, they were half-breeds. During the diaspora, when the Assyrians carried people away captive, they brought some of their own people pagans back and settled them there in northern Israel in Samaria, and they intermarried with the Jews and so on. And the purebred Jews in Jerusalem and Judea looked down their nose at them. And the Samaritans returned the favor, and they had set up their own temple, rival temple there in Samaria. So, but you're going to be my witnesses. Also, you're not just going to stay where you're comfortable. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to go to the Samaritans. You're going to be my witnesses in Samaria. And then to the ends of the earth. Wow. Oh, hallelujah. So my friends, start where you are. Your Jerusalem is wherever you are. If you're in Ireland, if you're in Jakarta, if you're in Lahore, if you're in London, if you're in Paris, Texas, wherever you may be, that's your Jerusalem. God always starts with where we are, but He never leaves us where we are. He always starts where we are, but He never leaves us where we are. Then He's going to send you out further. And as you're faithful, He's going to go further and further. And He's going to take us to the ends of the earth as His witnesses. Because only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can save America at this time. Only Jesus can save Canada or Ireland at this time. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can heal. And men, broken lives. Yeah, we got to lift up Jesus and let the Holy Spirit empower us to be His witnesses. I'm Eddie Hyde. This is the Eddie Hyde Podcast. I hope you'll check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. You're welcome to be in touch with Sue and me. If we can stand with you in prayer in any way, we'll be glad to do so. Send me an email. Let me know if these podcasts are being a blessing to you. And also, I've been talking about, I have a book, a fairly recent book called Discovering the Real Jesus. The Jesus that the Holy Spirit comes to make us His witnesses. It's I'm holding one in my hand. I'm just going to turn over to see how many pages it is. 192 pages. It's on my website, eddiehyatt.com. It's also on Amazon. Get one for your pastor or your professor, if you're a student. Get one for a friend. It's a very powerful book that will affirm your faith in Jesus. Hey, Eddie Hyde here. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.